Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence. This is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to another afternoon edition of the Chaser Report for Thursday, the 25th of November. I'm Lachlan Hodson.
And I'm Gabby Bolt.
And today, Gabby and I are going to have a wonderful chat with a comedian that we've looked up to for quite some time, the phenomenal Sammy J. We talk all about his podcast, Sammy J's Snack Pack, as well as a bit of emphasis on the upcoming podcast awards, which he's also nominated for.
And we also delve into his musical history and his inspiration and just what makes his brain go, let's make another amazing comedy song.
It's a really, really fun chat, and there is minimal fanning out from Gabby and I. We hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed having a chat with him.
And so here he is, Sammy J.
Right after this.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Now with extra whispers.
All right, we're joined here for another afternoon edition of The Chaser Report with none other than the phenomenal Sammy J. Sammy, how are you?
I am very well. Thank you, Lachlan and Gabby, although phenomenal is a very, very strong word.
Well, you know, we love you very much, and it's great to have you here. Sammy, we're trying to plan out the Australian Podcast Awards, okay? It's probably the biggest event of the year for people like us who do podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
You do Melbourne radio from 5:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. every single day. We do a daily podcast. I feel like we do very similar things, but on different platforms.
Yeah, Sammy gets paid.
Why is your colleague laughing incessantly at every word you say, Lachlan? I feel like there's some undermining happening right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, oh, I'll have to get HR to look into it. We don't have HR. Yeah. I'm assuming you guys have HR at ABC Radio.
I've been told or threatened with that fact for many years now, but I haven't met them in person.
So you're nominated for a podcast award in Best Radio Podcast. Have you got like a speech prepared?
For when you win, inevitably?
Well, look, I appreciate the confidence you have in the product. However, it is an ABC radio podcast up against the titans of commercial radio, so I can only assume that I will be left trailing in the dust of another person winning.
Out of your competition, is there a favourite?
Mm.
Lawrence Mooney has, you know, he's a legend, and I'm sure does wonderful work. But perhaps like you, doing daily content means, and particularly with my breakfast radio hours, I'm just a terrible consumer at the moment. Like, if you name it, I spend my life talking about like pop culture and things on the radio about things that I've never seen, heard, or read, or listened, or tasted. So it's a bit of an existential crisis of a way to live a life. But totally I can't say I'm that across the competition at all.
Right, now we're going off air. Who do you want to talk shit about, Sammy? Come on. What's your plan? How are we eliminating the competition?
I'm so glad you have stopped recording and given me this chance to freely speak my mind about every fucker in the Australian radio and comedy industry who I want to bring down. We don't have enough time to list the enemies I have made,
Or
the threats that I've received. So just assume if it's someone in the public eye who you know, assume there is an active grudge being held between the two of us.
That is a healthy way to live.
It certainly keeps the mind racing. It also keeps the butt clenching.
Lovely.
And the heart pounding.
Now that's some poetry.
It's a full body workout.
Yeah.
Of
God,
that I
I'll try that buffet. And I'll lose a couple of kilos. Let you know how it
Go
goes.
For it.
Actually, Sammy Gavis just pointed out you are quite the poet, and obviously you're a musical comedian. You're known for doing stuff with Randy somehow operating a piano and a puppet at the same time.
I'm very talented.
Yeah. We're both musical comedians as well. And so one of the criticisms that you often face when you're a musical comic, or particularly from the new generation, is you're just like Sammy J, but on a ukulele. Or, you're just like Tim Minchin, but a woman.
Classic.
we're sort of wondering, you know, for you as a renowned musical comedian who developed his own audience and his own voice, starting up, what was that like? Who were you getting compared to, or who are you being told that you stole from?
Well, it is a beautiful question. I feel like I'm amongst friends, knowing your work as well, and so we could be honest with each other. And
big fan of the Ratatouille musical, Sammy.
Oh, you know that I am.
Shut up.
And we've spoken about it on the radio.
Yeah, so we did. It was so shut amazing. Up.
And I've seen you tinkle your ivories, Lachlan Hodgson. So don't you think you're getting away without a compliment as well? The point is, you two.
The point is,
so I, my first thing into, like, my first real love of musical comedy was formed by listening to Tom Lehrer, satirical songs on piano in the 1960s in America about politics. And when I say that now, it's like, what, like a stupidly obvious full circle thing. Like, now I sing songs on piano about Australian politics. So it's, but it was a much longer journey for me, because then I got into Frontline and I loved satire, and then Frontline had Elliot Rhodes, who was a piss take of Tom Lehrer, who was singing purposely shitty comedy songs on piano. But I would learn those songs as well as hating the character but loving it. So I was like a sort of combination of totally appreciating the fact that it was a piss take, but also really digging the songs and the rhymes as well. And I've sort of lived with that shame ever since, because I'm sort of play both roles. And so when I started singing songs, there was no one else really doing it on keyboard. One of my earliest gigs, Tim Minchin was on the bill, but he was doing a stand-up routine. It was a raw comedy gig, and he hadn't done piano stuff like on the comedy scene in Melbourne at that point. And I think he's told me since then, he's like, he saw me doing it. He's like, hang on, I can do that better. I'm going to have a crack. So I still take 10% of his royalties.
Lovely.
Ever since. So in terms of being derivative or anything, like, there's no one on the scene who I was at all modeling myself on. I probably would have benefited from doing that, but I just was pretty stubbornly trying to be my own thing. And that, you know, in comedy, that's the only thing you can do, but it can come at a cost. Like, some of my early stuff was, I think there was always a genuine streak of originality there, but there was also a genuine streak of really shit material along the way. And, you know, you stay around long enough, you carve out what appears to be a more confident routine.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting too, because, I mean, Lachlan and I are both from a similar sort of age group, and our introduction to comedy in general was very grounded in musical comedy. Like, I saw your stuff on Good News Week on Channel 10, and I saw it on Sideshow with various other acts like Tripod and Tim and all of that. And I just feel like there was such an embrace for that style. Like, I don't know what I would have done had I not been introduced to the magic of it. Because I think it's very clever what you're able to do with sort of just keeping an audience's putty in your hand for whatever you do. And also, like, you're so talented as well on the piano. I was just going to ask you, is there a musical history there? Like, before comedy, did you find yourself falling into musical comedy? Or were you like, nah, I'm going to do musical comedy, that's what I do? Or, like, did you do music and stuff? I would love to hear about sort of your other projects and things.
Gabby, I've got like seven things to say off the back of that one sentence. So I don't know how much time. Like, we need to do it. So, okay, I need to go bit by bit. One, I was never on Sideshow. I was booked, but I never got on because the material I submitted was not up to scratch. And then Tim Minchin was doing like four episodes, and Josh Thomas was on it, and he was like,
screw him.
But Good News World, which was on 10 years ago exactly, was a huge thing for me, and Randy and I doing things. And, like, it's genuine, you know, I'm just going to be sincere because why not? But, like, it is so awesome to hear that you might have been watching that and that, you know, you took some stuff from that. So
I did. I saw you every time. Mm.
But every generation has, like, in their heads, the previous generation was, like, maybe, you know, setting the tone or laying the sort of foundations. And so for me, that was the same, like Lana and Woodley and growing up watching them and everything. So I still feel illegitimate in every sense. But genuinely, like, but it's so nice to think that, I guess, I would pull the wool over your eyes enough to think that it was inspiring. Because at the time, you know, you're just a nervous wreck every time you're doing stuff, particularly in the early years. Yeah. But as far as musically speaking, no, my love has always been comedy. Like, I've wanted, ever since I was in school, I wanted to take the piss, surprise people, you know, be the butt of the joke or try and make the joke. And music was absolutely my tool to do that. And even in the early days of, like, because, you know, when I started the comedy scene, it was Tim Minchin and Eddie Perfect. They were the other two musical pianists. And that's not, you know, like, I've never will be or never have been as good a songwriter or musician or a vocalist as them at all. But equally, it was never my desire to be either. Like, we'd all like to be better than we are, but it was, for me, always about the jokes. And
the comedy told the story.
Yeah, and the comedy. Yeah, yeah. And so I've So often most of my early songs, you know, were 45 seconds long. Like I'd do a joke and I'd stop because I didn't want to be doing repeated choruses. Yeah, wow. Because it's always for me about surprising the audience. And this comes back to your earlier comment about musical comedy and the reputation, or sometimes the bad reputation it gets. I think for me, comedy is about surprising an audience. And if you're doing like a repeated chorus that has the same jokes, it's no longer a surprise. And so every song I write, to varying degrees of success, is still trying to stay a step ahead of the crowd. And even if it's repeating things that, you know, I still want to have somewhere I'm heading that they're not expecting.
And you do it brilliantly. Aww. You do it brilliantly. And I don't want to hear you say that your songwriting isn't to par ever again, because it's brilliant.
What? No, I didn't say it was crap, did I?
I just wanted you to know that I think you're just as good as everybody else.
No, thank you. No, but like, I'm being objective. Like I think, you know, like I've done some really good stuff, and I've also done some poor stuff. But I think I wrote a song called Pink Clouds a few years ago, which beautiful. Is probably it's my favorite song I've ever written.
That's a classic.
But to me, it's sort of after I wrote that, I was like, I'll be happy if I never write another comedy song, because it actually was achieving everything I wanted to do, which is it does keep surprising and it's also musically nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And that's a wonderful little song, that simple thing that we all relate to of I would find someone dead and make it onto the news. That little line where you're like, this dead guy's mine. It just sort of like Gabby, we had this sort of golden age of musical comedy on TV where I'd get to watch the Chaser at 8:30, and then a little show called Wednesday Night Fever. That's a rare one for the audience, but Wednesday Night Fever. And it was this brilliant introduction for me as a 11-year-old child into blending this love of comedy with being a bit of a political nerd and a bit of an outsider and having those interests. And so you've talked about how you always wanted to focus on comedy. When did the politics start coming into it?
Did you enjoy Wednesday Night Fever?
Oh, Sammy, I still watch that stuff.
He actually
TV.
Does. I've caught him in the office doing it.
Oh, that is amazing. Because it was a short-lived series, of course. You know, like I've been on more series that have not continued than that have. And so that was a very brief little period. Mm. Not without its challenges, but it was, as you said, it was a nerd's delight because it was focused on. So it was a strange thing where I politics was my thing at school. Like I was a real nerd. I got into it. My dad was a politics teacher. So it was naturally my interest. But when I started all my early material, I never went anywhere near it. I was like, you know, writing sex joke songs and other, you know, of higher and lower brow material.
The fingering song, for instance.
Yeah, fingering song, for example. You know, clever rhymes, and I'll stand by that. But it was not a political song. It probably is today. So it was really around Good News World, actually, 10 years ago when Randy and I were doing weekly sketches. And I think when we totally, because it was a topical show, we were leaning right into that. We wrote a song about Kevin Rudd haunting Julia in the lodge and all this sort of things. And then off the back of that was probably why I was considered for Wednesday Night Fever, because they were looking for a host for that show and they came to me. And then because it was my natural place to play, I sort of fell in. It was very natural for me to then start turning my attention and whatever skills I had to that world. And then the big – I sort of haven't ever felt like I've had a big break as such, but probably the biggest break career-wise was 2016 election. And Randy and I had just been told that we weren't getting a second series of Ricketts Lane, which broke our heart. That was our sitcom. And
didn't just break your heart, Sammy. Did just break your heart.
It break – oh, thank you, Lachlan. Oh, you're too kind. I still feel like you're about to – you're about to introduce like my accountant and reveal I've got a massive tax bill or something. I feel like you're being too nice. There's a sting in the tail here. But
you've got all your tweets, right?
Never tweeted. Never tweeted. So suck on that. I've
damn
got
it.
No history. But at the end of that disappointment, the proper like lowest point of my career, like 2 weeks later, ABC said, they're having an election. We need some online content. They were just desperate for some digital like stuff and just, Chaser were already doing the was it the Long Desk show?
Desk 2016. We're not allowed to talk about that in the office, Sam. So.
Okay, well.
The Long Desk is like, it's going to grade.
You know, everyone was doing stuff, of course. But they said, would you do a daily, like, cheap sort of show? And and I very quickly, on the back of a napkin sort of thing, thought, what can I do here? What's cheap and what's – and I thought, what about a play school parody? Because I could, I could do songs, I could do artwork.
Yeah.
And playground politics was that thing, and genuinely I feel like the last 5 years of my life has been dictated by that little 3 week project that I did, because it really took off pretty majorly.
And what a ride. It is just one of the most perfect blendings of worlds that should never coincide. I was going to ask you, actually, have you received any legal threats from the play school team?
No, I sat next to, like, I think the director once at an ABC event, and she like made some quip to that effect, but it was said in jest. And as they all know, I think you're like, play school has never once been the butt of the joke, you know, like,
no, of course not.
Knowing who the target is important. So it's, that's just the form, but that's a real showbiz tale in that I was sort of down and out feeling glum, but I, you know, it's that thing of being ready. You can't make your own, you make your own luck by being ready for opportunities. Yeah. That opportunity came along and I was definitely ready to jump into it.
Cool. Well, I think so when Justine Clark starts doing musical comedy duos with a felt puppet, then we can be aware that there's an issue here. But.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Less news, less often.
We were going to ask as well, so for our audience who for some reason haven't heard of it, Sammy J does a weekly political satire short series. They're about 4 or 5 minutes long. They come out every Thursday. You just finished the last episode of it for the year, the finale, which was about electric vehicles. Do your kids, because it's on at a very specific time slot, do your kids watch that show, Sammy?
My kids do. I've got two girls. They're 6 and 9. And on a Thursday night, we will, unless we're, other things come up, like, hey, it's Daddy's TV spot time. So we'd switch it on at 6:55. And then they'll say, oh, what is it tonight? I'll say, like, playground politics. And they go, great. Or I say, like, it's the coach. And like, because they find the coach boring. And but they're pretty well schooled to the point where, like, on the weekend, they decided they wanted to film a little like press conference, and one of them was going to be Gladys and one was Dan, and they were just like dressing up and being so. And I realized as they were just riffing out and improvising, but I'm like, oh my gosh, they've really been steeped and schooled in Australian politics from a very early age, because it was all flowing out very naturally.
It must be really sort of sweet as a father to go, I can't wait for my kids to get bullied at school just like I did.
I just see years of torment ahead for them. I'm only grateful that I don't use my real name in public. I do, like, it's Sam Jonathan McMillan. It's just boring. So at least they're not saddled with the J as the surname. So they might have be able to disown me a little more easily.
Yeah, well, Sam Jonathan McMillan. There is actually one place where your real name's shown up a few times. As you know, Chaser members, where we're big fans of stunts. We go out, we make a fool of ourselves, and we do things in public. You've been doing a couple of cheeky stunts lately with the paper, with self-written reviews, haven't you?
little research Hodson on the case with his little Watson on the sidekick, Gabby there, doing your little
I would love to say
snooping.
That I've done the same amount of work as Watson on this, but Lockie's all over it. I'm just here for the vibes. It's great.
Sure, Lachlan Hodson's done about 10 years of this research, so it's all paying off finally.
I've been writing letters to the Green Guide since I was 12 years old. I used to write about Disney films and argue with the reviewers genuinely, and then I started writing letters criticizing myself as a radio presenter at the start, when I started the job last year, because it was pretty much taking the piss out of the classic ABC listener who would write that sort of letter, and I thought I'd just get in ahead of the pack.
Do you find that it drives down any kind of complaint though?
Oh, it did. So like this was a three-act joke back to the idea of, you know, trying to surprise people. And it was actually just me trying to do a joke with the first one I wrote and said, who's this Sammy J? Is ridiculous. And I used my real name, Sam McMillan, so they printed it. Then the next one I said, hey, I'm coming around to Sammy J. He's really toning it down. And then the third one actually wasn't me. The third one, they printed this like 6 months ago with someone really ripping into me. Then I went online and said, hey, I got another letter published and used this pseudonym. And so I owned a real letter. Everyone thought that it was actually me. And what's happened since? Green Guy have never again published a letter critical of me because they think it's from me.
Brilliant. That is brilliant. Actually, I've got a show coming up. It's my first ever show, and I reckon I'll just employ you to roast me, and over 3 years, I'll just keep paying you to keep my reputation out of the hands of actual people.
I will take that mantle. Hey, what's the show? You mean a live show?
Yeah, live show. Sorry, this is not about... I wasn't meant to plug my own stuff on the show.
Yeah, you have to take the opportunity to plug.
It's called I Hope My Keyboard Doesn't Break, and it's my first musical comedy solo show.
Amazing. So, and where will you be doing it?
I'm doing it in Sydney in December from the 16th to the 18th of December, and then I'm doing it at Adelaide Fringe and Melbourne Comedy Festival.
We'll have to meet up. See you down here in Melbourne.
Yeah, I'll see you then.
Look at you,
Hodson. What about you?
You know, I'm just married to the job. just hanging out here. You know, we'll get there when we get there. Look at you, you radio professional, plugging other people when you're the guest.
I'm literally mid plug, going, this is not what I was supposed to do.
No, I love it. It's great.
It has been an absolute pleasure having you on, Sammy J. And also, everybody listening should obviously root for Sammy J in the
Best Radio Podcast Award.
Best Radio Podcast Awards. Woo, woo, woo. I hope you win.
That is the award. Well, thank you for hoping that I win. If I win, then it'll be a nice thing. And if I don't, the sun will still rise and we will all continue going about our business.
Arguably, the sun rises when our hearts are broken. so we can all look forward to what can either be a very happy or a very sad night. Note that we don't want to win. We don't actually care about winning.
That's why I hope
you win. And, of course, my contribution to the podcast will not factor in. I assume the judges have already made their decision. And so this is really...
Wait, we're using this interview to...
This is
the one we're sending for consideration.
Oh,
yeah, so, you know, thanks.
I like to think we have had a robust, honest, cheeky chat that went in a variety of different unexpected directions.
Just like your comedy.
quickly before you go, Sammy, I'm trying to find myself a date at these podcast awards.
Oh my God.
Tony Martin, he hit me with the maybe. Hamish and Andy haven't responded to my calls. Mm. Can I trust on my comedy dad to come with me to these awards?
I feel the best father I can be to you, Lachlan, is to send you out into the world on your own to feel the shame and the burn of standing around holding a warm champagne, desperately seeking anyone you have a vague connection to while away the awkward 90 minutes of chatting to before you go home to your bed, play with yourself and fall asleep in a disappointed stupor, having lost to someone you hate.
Love you too, Dad.
Love you too, son.
It's been wonderful to have you, Sammy J. I hope you have an amazing rest of the year with all of your comedy and all of your radio. I hope you're getting some sleep and can't wait to see what else you come up with.
Bless you both. Love the chat. We should do it again.
Can't wait. Yum, yum.
Yum, yum.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project... there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. News you can't trust.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much to Sammy J for having that chat with us.
Yeah, and thank you, Lachlan, for stopping breathing in a paper bag enough to say the outro. Have you recovered?
No. I definitely think I'm still a bit starstruck, but I think I'll manage. And you know what? I'm bummed that he's not coming to the awards with me. But
I mean, Lachlan, it was always a possibility that he might have, you know, things like his family or his job or the fact that he's in Melbourne to focus on a part. I know you asked very nicely, but I think it's okay.
But I thought we had something special. Sammy J's podcast is called Sammy J's Snack Pack. It's a recap of his shenanigans throughout the week on Breakfast Radio. It's good stuff. Give it a listen. Our gear is from Rode Microphones, and we are part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you later.
See ya.
Toodles.